Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Hello there. Is that you, Richard?
It is. Is she still up?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I just noticed my phone is very low battery, but do you know how long until we go on and for how long were you expecting?
We're on right now, and if your phone holds out,
all right.
5, 10, 15 minutes.
We'll go to the wheels fall off.
Okay, perfect. So I understand go ahead.
Sending you a shout-out and a belated Memorial Day, and thinking about you guys. And I was thinking about my dad also, who was a Navy man. Don't hold me against him, but...
Oh, no. Hey, let me tell you, they were my taxi.
You son of a bitch. They gave you a ride. Them ladies in white gave you a ride whenever you needed to get a ride to a fight. Huh?
There you go. In fact, after I got out of the Marine Corps, the only other job I've ever had, besides the ones I had when I was a kid, was working on them now for the last 20 years.
I like that line in A Few Good Men when Kiefer Sutherland tells Tom Cruise, whenever we needed a ride to a fight, you ladies were nice enough to give us a lift. Talking about the Navy giving the Marines a ride to the real fight, but how's everything going over there?
Good, everything's good. We just picked up a guy in China right now. So if he gets caught, he'll actually be beaten or killed, because as you know, they don't like anything from the outside world over there.
I know they try to shut it all down, and
yeah,
I'm telling you, man, this is not funny business. What you guys do, and I appreciate it.
No, and I don't know if you heard the opening, but that's been the opening of my show for the last 3 years now.
You know, it's an awesome opening, and it really got my attention. It's very dramatic, man. Very, very, had a lot of truth in it, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes I'm not just a good-looking guy. I'm smart, too.
It's sad.
Hey, you know, it's funny because people have said that. I've had people on. There's a guy running for sheriff up in San Mateo County, and he was on. He's been on for quite a few nights, promoting himself to get elected as a writing candidate up there. And then there's another guy that's supposed to call in tonight who's, I think he's running for county supervisor up there in District 3. But we cater to everybody. I don't turn anybody down.
Right on. You'll even take the politicians and the filmmakers.
Absolutely, everybody. I mean, I treat people the way I want to be treated.
It was nice meeting you, man. And it was a good run the other day with Emilio from Sons of Anarchy.
Uh-huh.
Had all his crew out there, including yourself, and. Man, I really enjoyed seeing all you guys, having you guys watch the movie that we made, Water and Power, in theaters
right now
and online, Water and Power movie on Facebook. And it's just a tough movie. It's a movie about cops and street guys and former Marines and politicians, and it's some poetry mixed in with the dark and the light. And I think that your listeners will get it, and our work has always somewhere in whether I'm writing a play or a movie, has always honored the serviceman or woman. And we did a play about a year ago in San Diego called Federal Jazz Project with this jazz great, this young guy named Gilbert Castellanos. He's a San Diego jazz legend already, and he's not barely 40 years old. Rolling Stone magazine called him the new jazz master. And Federal Jazz Project looked at all the speakeasies in jazz places south of Broadway all the way to Tijuana that were mainly frequented by men of the Navy and the Marines. So it was a real good look at San Diego through the decades, using jazz to transport us back to another time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been I like jazz and I like blues, and I know pretty much where you're talking about, and I've been up and down that corridor quite a few times. I've been here. I got stationed here in 85, and I never left. And we're going on 35 years, maybe, of me being in and out of California, and then I just decided to stay here. But I'm pretty well hip to who's who and what's what. But the question I had for you was, I get anywhere from 10 to 15 emails a day from the Midwest and the East Coast about when that movie's going to head east.
Well, we're going to do a couple of things. You know, we're going to definitely hit Chicago in around September, Denver, Phoenix, and San Antonio. And then we'll do a couple screenings up in New York, September, October. That's the plan for now. And then between now and that time, it'll also be available on iTunes. So if there's a place we can post that information, or we'll keep feeding it to you so you can feed it to your listeners.
Hey, you're getting we're getting 80,000 hits a day, buddy. Since the first of the year, just since the first of this year, we have let me get to it real quick because I just checked. We've had 3,406,777 people look at the blog since the first of the year.
Beautiful.
And I copy and I post for you guys, and I'm going to repost that article by Amy Morello, the one she did about in OC Weekly.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Uh huh.
There are also a couple of real good ones. I'll put them on your Facebook inbox, and you can pick and choose what you want. And,
no, I'll put everything on me, Richard. I'll put up for you guys. That's the way I work.
Thank you, Philip. Real honor for us to be associated in some small way with you and man, I just that intro. I was like, man, this is for reals. You know, it was pretty good, man. Real good, but more than good. It was like beautiful and deep and everything.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think just because I do it, Bill and I, my friend Bill, his wife. His wife's really sick, and his mother's sick, and he's been off the air for a little bit, but people have been asking where's he at, and what I do is I try and it's just that his schedule so between the hospitals and everything else that he's got going, it's hard to get him, you know, to even pop in for 10 or 15 minutes. He's only done it once for a half hour, but we're going to try and work something out where he can do it remotely, and I'm working on that. But I'll send you a picture later on. I'll text it to you of who parks out in front of my house when I do this show. You're gonna laugh. It's hilarious. This thing's got to be $350,000, and they park out here for 2.5 hours, three nights a week.
Wow. Incredible. Hey, what else you guys got going on? What else you got going on over there?
Well, tonight we were going to talk about. I got some stuff from New York. It's a group of retired detectives. They talk about now. These are retired detectives. They're between them. There's over 100 some years of service to the police community, and they started this group that's called "Don't Talk to Cops," and they tell you how to do it. And they tell you what not to do.
Wow.
I'll send you the info. I'll post it in your inbox. But yeah, the thing, a lot of people asked where you came up with this idea for Water and Power, and how it got started. I know I heard you mention that it only took like 12 or 14 days to film this movie.
12 nights to film. It started out on stage as a play, and I come from a family of a lot of brothers, and you know we'd have to box each other, and my dad, I guess it was my dad's way of kind of toughening us up for harder times to come. And so I've always been interested in stories, you know, going back to Cain and Abel and stories about brothers and testing the boundaries of brotherhood, loyalty, and things that you would do for your brother and all under the watchful eye of an overbearing dad. And that's basically, that's essentially the movie, you know, and that brotherhood carries through. For me, if you're in a motorcycle club or you're in the military, or, you know, you've got, you know, literal your siblings. But as I grow in past my 40s and move myself on into a few years, you know, I've got six brothers still, and, you know, nothing surprises me anymore, and you're tested all the time. And one brother needs help, or one brother needs some intervention, or, you know, one brother needs a loan, or one brother's doing great. You know, it's, you love them all equally, and you're willing to go to the mat, you know, for them.
Absolutely.
And that's brotherhood. That's brotherhood, and that's really what the movie's all about. It's two brothers nicknamed Water and Power, and, you know, one brother did something good, one brother did something bad, but in the end of the movie, the guy that you think that did something bad ends up, he did something good, and the other guy, you know, kind of sold it all the way down the line. So it's just a movie with twists and turns, and it's kind of like in a film noir setting. The language is beautiful. I hope that people feel and vibe off the language. And just a lot of fun to shoot. We got Emilio Rivera from Sons of Anarchy, Clancy Brown from Shawshank Redemption, and so many movies. And a lot of character actors that you'll recognize. Maybe they're not a household name, but you certainly recognize their faces and their body of work.
Absolutely. I mean, when I sat up there, and watched that movie with Emilio and Nicholas and Yachty, and I had a great time.
Good, Philip.
It's
for everyone.
And, you know, the one thing, like, you go to the movies and you see people using their phones. I didn't see any of that. I was really surprised. That movie just, it just enveloped everybody in the audience.
Well, it's a good group of good group, dedicated group of bike riders, you know, and motorcycle guys with beautiful bikes, and they you know, they started out in El Monte and made their way all the way to Covina, and really showed their love and dedication to Emilio as well. Nicholas Gonzalez, as you mentioned, Yachty Rivera, Emilio's old lady, she's in the movie as well. It's a family affair, brother, and I feel like that day my family was extended, you know, into your guys' family, and that felt real good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I meet people, it's like I make friends for life.
I could feel that from you, and I really appreciated that, and that you're riding with Emilio, man. Well, you know, that's, you know, he's got a lot of respect for you, and he said, be sure to follow up with that guy. Don't go sleeping on me now. I know it took a couple of tries.
No worries. I know, you know, sometimes because of the demands of the Navy, sometimes I'll work 7/12s, sometimes I'll work 7/10s, sometimes I work overnight just to get things done so I can put those guys back out on the water. And I know when I'm done that I don't have anything to worry about. I know they're going to come back not in harm's way.
Right on, brother. That's what it's all about.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. The first time that we rode with Emilio, some people were complaining about a woman rider up in the front, you know. And Emilio got off his bike, walked back and told him, hey, she rides better than most of you guys, and she's going to ride behind me, and that's the way it is.
Sounds like Emilio, man. Always standing up for the little guy or the little gal. That's him.
Yeah, you know, mentioning the little guy, I don't know if you went through my pictures on my page, but you'll notice that everybody's taller than me. And if you notice, I'm always in the front of the picture because some of my close friends always say, put the little guy in the front.
Little guy in front. That's all right.
Absolutely.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal right there.
Absolutely.
Well, listen,
but,
my phone's going to die. I just want to tell you,
thank you for calling. Thank you for taking the time out of your day, and you're welcome back anytime.
Well, let's do it again next week, man, or anytime. I really look forward to talking to you some more. I love what you do, man. I love what
okay.
you do for everyone, and I appreciate it.
All right, brother. You take care.
All right, homie. All right, Holmes. Later, Holmes.
All right, man. We'll see you later. That was Richard Montoya. He was the director of Water and Power. And what I'll do is I'll put that up in the chat room for everybody. You can go check it out if you like. I'll give you the links to check out that stuff. And the author's name is Amy Murillo. This is out of the OC Weekly. And you can get to her at this next link I'm going to post right now. So if you go to Amy's link, which I just put in there, you type that in, and then it'll come up to Amy Murillo. And then all you have to do is Richard Montoya's movie version of Water and Power. And you can go from there. But as things go, sometimes, like right now, I'm having some issues with when I try to promote the show with things that are going on with some of the storylines we tell, some of the things we talk about, some of the stuff that people, the haters, there's always going to be haters, and it doesn't deter me, it just makes me stronger to do what I want to do. And I talked to Bill today, he said to let everybody know everything's good, he misses everybody, and he hopes to be back soon. I'm going to play this thing, it's called Don't Talk to Cops. It's by about six New York police detectives, retired, that between them probably got over 120 years of service, and they talk some pretty good stuff here. So what I'm going to do is I'll play that right now, and then we'll be back.
If you didn't see the Central Park Five documentary, go see that. When I saw that, I only had like 4 years on the job at the time, so I was just learning. But what really was heartfelt was when you looked at those young boys, and I know the whole story. When you look at those young boys who was crying and pouring out for help, and they thought they were going to get it from their parents, the parents didn't even know how to protect their kids when it came to law enforcement. That's why we educate the community on what to do when stopped by the police. We educate parents because parents don't know, even if you do, which you shouldn't, but if you do give the police department the permission to talk to your loved one, if you do, at any given time, you can stop it. At any given time. But you never should give the police department the permission to speak to your loved one if they're arrested. We tell the young folks out there, don't speak to them. I'm going to use part of my time to just give you a simple demonstration of what I teach young kids. When you're walking down the street, you get a call and the police get a call. If the police stop you in an area, I'm going to give you a Saturday night, whatever area you're at, and the police stop you. Do you know why they're stopping you? They're stopping you because you're the only one in that vicinity. So right then and there, you are the perpetrator. You don't know you're the perpetrator because they're not going to tell you you're the perpetrator. What they try to do is stop you by engaging you. How you doing, sir? Or whatever. Sir, did you see a car? Did you hear a gunshot? Did you see somebody run? And what you think is you think, because you're not the perpetrator, right? You tend to think, well, let me help them out or let me defend myself. You don't have to defend yourself. The burden of proof is on them. Keep your damn mouth shut. This is what I tell the young folks, that if that was to happen to you as you're walking, you say, officer, am I under arrest? No, you're not under, well, then I must be free to leave. And then you start to leave. Let him or her say, no, you can't leave. Well, then, officer, am I under arrest? No, you're not. Well, then I must be free to leave. Well, no, I want to ask you something. Well, officer, am I under arrest? You keep saying that because let me tell you something. If the police had the right to arrest you, do they ever ask you? They do it. So you just say that. When the officer says, well, listen, you're not under arrest. I just want to know, did you see a car? Did you hear a person scream? Did you hear a gunshot? You don't, officer, am I under arrest? And if they say, well, you know what, you're smart because you know what comes behind that, right? Okay, officer, you're under arrest. Okay, officer, you turn around and you put your hands behind him and say, here, take me. Here. But you don't say nothing. Say, 9 times out of 10, they're going to push you away. Because they're going to say, you know, if they don't have enough, they're going to say, I can't lock this person up. But what you just did is you showed them you're not afraid to get arrested. The other way you handle that situation is you do this. A cop stops you. Excuse me. You live around. This is what you do. And you look him or her straight in the eye. And you just do this. Excuse me. Did you hear what I said? Do you live around here? Can you tell me your name? It's easy. Just don't say nothing. Now they got a decision to make. Either lock you up, beat you up, or let you go. Now there's going to be some derogatory statements coming behind that. But you know what? I guarantee you that 99% of the time, at the end of that confrontation, you'll be walking like this in a way and on your way. That's what you do. Stop trying to prove to them that you're not the person they're looking for. That's up to them to do. Another thing, know your rights. In this book, it's only about 28 pages. I give you what you should do when you're stopped by the police, what you should do if the police come knocking at your door, what you should do if the police stop you at your car, in your car, what the passengers should do, what to do if you're brought to a police precinct because some people don't know what to expect, what to do after you've been violated by the police, how to fight them back, and get in touch with our organizations because we will come out and we will help you. I can't go down to CCRB anymore. They don't want me down there. Because when I've escorted people down there, they say, you can't come in. You know why? Because when I went down there with some people that was complaining, they placed semantics with a person's words. And I'm sitting there and I said, listen, if this lady said the officer slapped her, then the officer slapped her. You don't have to say to her, well, did the officer inadvertently put his hand up? What are you talking? She's a grown woman. She knows if she's been slapped. Just like grown men, they know if they've been hit or violated. You know, stop making excuses for the police officer. Well, they told me you can't come down here anymore. You know, it's all right. It's okay. Because if I can educate enough and you can stand and use that backbone in your spine and stand up for what's right, you'll be okay because when you leave there, you got us. You got us, and you're going to have your community behind you if they just would stop being scared. We as a people need to stop being afraid.
Police officers are very well trained in interrogation techniques and use deception and trickery to get confessions, and this is all legal. I had a client who the police police had questioned after a one-car accident with no witnesses. He'd driven his car into a snowbank. He was with his girlfriend. But they left the scene. Shortly thereafter, the police found them at a store nearby, and they questioned him. And my client told him, "I had nothing to do with the accident. I don't want to talk to you. I wasn't the driver." But the police responded by saying, "Well, it's really not that big a deal if you drove the car and crashed it. We just want you to be honest with us. Just tell us the truth. Because if you lie to us, well, you're going to be in big, big trouble. Just tell us what happened." So the genius admits to the police that he was the driver. Next thing you know, he's butchering his ABCs, he's stumbling during the heel toe walk, admitting he drank 12 beers, and gets arrested for his third drunk driving.
Did you have your seatbelt on when you were driving?
Driving what?
Your car.
Driving what car? When I was driving that car, I wasn't driving that car.
Who was driving that car?
I have no idea.
You don't have any idea who was driving that car?
No, I don't.
You have no idea who was driving that car?
We'll do this. They have the tape pulled. I'm going to go review it. Just letting you know, this is your last chance you get. Lying to us about an accident like this, a felony charge. So we'll give you one opportunity.
Yeah. It was an accident?
Listen, okay? We're not playing around here, okay?
No, no,
come over here.
No, guys, we talk. Take care. Go over here and talk to him for a second, okay?
Right over here.
convinced by the reasons I've already stated, just visit the Innocence Project website
at innocenceproject.org. You will quickly learn that false confessions and incriminating statements lead to wrong convictions in approximately 25% of the cases. Read about Nathaniel Hatchett, one of the most outstanding Michigan exoneration cases. Nathaniel was 17 years old when he was arrested for rape he didn't commit. In 1998, he was convicted and sentenced to 25 to 40 years in prison. He served a decade of that sentence before a DNA test led to his exoneration on April 14, 2008. One of the main contributing causes of his conviction was a false confession. Bottom line, if you give up your right to remain silent, there's nothing you can do or say to help yourself. If I had it my way, the Miranda rights would read as follows. You have the right to remain silent. Everything you do and say will be used against you in a court of law, even if it is an innocent, harmless misstatement on your part. A clever prosecutor will wrap it around your neck and hang you with it. On the other hand, if you... only say things that show you are innocent, those are self-serving statements. That's hearsay. They're not admissible in court and will not be considered by the prosecutor when deciding whether or not to charge you, because you, like any defendant, will do and say anything to save yourself. You will not be questioned without a lawyer, but I will make you think that talking to me can help you, even though it won't, and I will lie and trick you to get you to say things. Most importantly, this statement will not be recorded except by my memory, and I know you are guilty. Now, do you want to make a statement?
You know, here's another one I'm going to tell you about. People been asking me about how to cop proof your cell phone. So we'll go for this one.
I'm raising two girls on my... own. By the economy more than a few times before they're grown.
Pointed many civil liberties advocates when it reached a 5-2 decision in People versus Diaz that police may lawfully search mobile phones on arrested individual persons without first obtaining a search warrant. It's particularly troubling when you think of how much personal information is stored on your phone. In this day and age, it's both your best friend and could be your worst enemy if it gets into the wrong hands. Videos, pictures, emails, text messages, contacts, you name it, all of your communications are in this one little device. So with this ruling, should we just call privacy completely dead? Or are there still a few tricks out there to keep your personal information safe? Earlier, I caught up with Ryan Radia, Associate Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And first, we painted the scenario. Let's say I got pulled over. I got arrested. I had my phone on me. Can cops really just do whatever they want with it?
That's correct. Under the decision 2 weeks ago by the California Supreme Court, along with actually a number of other courts over the last few years, any time you are arrested by police for any reason, which could include unpaid parking tickets, driving without a seatbelt, reckless driving, the police can take your phone, arrest you, and once you're in custody under arrest behind bars, they can spend hours trying to search through your phone. Anything they find can be used against you in court, can be used for a search warrant.
And that's really scary, because when you think about it, this little tiny thing that I carry around with me, I mean, it holds so much of our personal information these days, right? Every email, every text message, every picture, every video. It's almost kind of scary how much we depend on these little things.
It's incredible how much data we store on our smartphones. And the courts have dealt with things like pagers for a while. Those are usually just a couple of phone numbers. The actual initial court decisions that allowed this to happen dealt with things like a cigarette pack. But today we're talking about a cell phone. Really, the cell phone, of the smartphone, like an iPhone, contains your papers and effects of the digital age. The things that you would once store at home in a locked file cabinet in your desk, you don't have your Gmail, your text messages, your images, all this personal information is on your phone, and it's now vulnerable to law enforcement search without a court order, without a warrant at all.
I mean, it's definitely personal information. It's something that I consider private, you know, and it is a catch-22. It's so easy. You can carry it around all the time. But now, at the same time, it's very vulnerable, like you said. But you mentioned a few tricks as to perhaps how you could keep cops from actually getting hands on your phone. So let's say that I'm in my car and they choose to arrest me. What does it mean for the phone to be on my person? You know, if it's on the passenger seat laying there in the center console, does that count?
Unclear. Never really been tested. The technical language is, if it's immediately associated with your person, they can search it. No questions asked. No need for what's called exigent circumstances. But if it's in your media control, but not immediately associated with your person, they can't search it. So the precedents on this are a little murky because it's such a new and untested area. But if it's in your luggage, they probably cannot search it unless they have a serious reason to think you're going to destroy data on it. So probably for a seatbelt or a reckless driving arrest, if it's in your console, glove compartment, luggage, they probably can't search it. If it's in your purse, however, next to you, maybe even in the seat next to you, or definitely in your pocket, then they can search it. So your goal is to get it basically as far away as you can from your person in some separate object. Whether or not...
What about my phone case that covers it, right? That's a separate object, no?
It is. Again, it's a really murky legal definition, whether it's in your grabbing space, on your person, separate from you. In fact, if it's in your trunk, it may even have an entirely different standard for search because you can't access it at all inside your car.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of stories coming out, you know, about different people that had it somewhere else in their car and, you know, what the cops constituted is on your person or not. But what if I have a password on my phone so you can't just push the button and instantly access all the information? Can the officer actually force you to give them your password?
They can ask you, and they can even lie to you. They can say, if you tell us your password, it's going to help you when we go before the judge. Remember, cops, generally speaking, don't have to tell you the truth. However, then this is important, they cannot force you to hand over your password. They may ask, they may try to persuade you, but if they do force you and you hand it over, then they've gone over the line. However, if you voluntarily disclose it, then that's free reign for them. So I would advise everyone, if you're all worried about police looking at your phone, whether or not you committed a crime, which you probably don't know even if you have, given how many there are, but you should definitely password protect your phone. It's a great way to keep it safe.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because when I was reading your piece, you said that there's a lot of Americans that are probably saying, hey, I have nothing to hide. Go ahead, search my phone. But you said that a lot of us are probably guilty of committing crimes and we don't even know it. What do you mean by that?
There's so many laws on the books in the United States these days. It's something that's called over-criminalization. Every year, thousands of new offenses are added to the books. A lot of them don't require criminal intent, so you could have no idea you're doing something illegal. And then there are these horror stories that have been compiled by organizations like Heritage Foundation. In fact, former Attorney General Ed Meese, who worked under Reagan, not exactly a bleeding heart liberal, in fact, he's a long over conservative, he's written about this. A girl was arrested on New York City subway for eating a French fry. Arrested. A woman was arrested simply for not filing the right paperwork, a grandmother. So you can be arrested for a whole host of things, for not having the right stamp on a lobster you've imported. It's incredibly easy for the cops to find something you've done that's illegal. Not only that, if they search your phone and they find anything incriminating, such as the guy in California, Diaz, they found a text message that said 6480. That's all it said. The police officer testified that involved a drug deal, 6 pills for $80. That, along with other factors, was enough for a criminal conviction. So it's really hard to know for sure that there's nothing on your phone that might land you behind bars, given how many laws we have.
That is really crazy. So I guess the number one piece of advice that you're giving people is to actually go ahead and encrypt their phones. Isn't that right?
That's right. It's really easy to do that with your laptop, which I recommend everybody do because it's so easy. Just Google the phrase TrueCrypt, C-R-I-P-T. It's a great piece of software that lets you encrypt your laptop. Police cannot break it. It's very robust. Problem is, on phones, you really want that same level of encryption because police can't hack into it. The problem with a password-protected phone that's not encrypted is that there are these tools that police can plug into your phone. In 5 minutes, all the data is off your phone on their computer, and then they have free reign to search it. So encrypting it is the only really surefire way to make sure police can't access it. And as I said earlier, they cannot force you to compel to turn over the key. No matter what they say, you have the right to remain silent. They cannot force you to compel to disclose any information under the Fifth Amendment. So you really want to encrypt your phone. The problem is not a lot of phones actually let you encrypt it. It's not an easy thing. It's not a common feature. As I mentioned, BlackBerry is probably the leader in this field, in large part because corporations, their main customers,
yeah,
really care about security. iPhones, not so easy to encrypt it.
Well, that's no good. I think maybe I need to throw out my phone. Well, no, I mean, you know, this is something that might even be coming in front of the Supreme Court at some time, but it's definitely, you know, good for people to know about what they can and cannot do, what they should and shouldn't do. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, hello there, stranger.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Oh, not much. Just living out my dream of doing nothing.
Well, yeah, mine too, but I got extracurricular duties today. But, no, I just started out with, interviewed a friend of mine about a movie called Water and Power, which down this way, it's playing in Chula Vista and over in Mira Mesa. But stars a bunch of people, and good guy. And then we segued into Don't Talk to the Cops, and then we segued into Don't Talk to the Cops again, and then we segued into how to cop-proof your cell phone. And I sent you the link for that, so you might want to do that because according to California Supreme Court, there was a decision reached in People v. Diaz that police may lawfully search mobile phones on arrested individuals without first obtaining a search warrant. So with this ruling, we should just call privacy dead, or there are still tricks to keep up your personal information safe. So the best thing I can tell you is, you know, there's two batteries in your phone. There's one underneath the SIM card. Take that one out. That one keeps up your memory and everything else. But if you got anything on it you don't want people to see, forget it. They're going to get it. They also have what they call a Stingray box that can download your phone through the
well,
air.
I remember you telling me that in the past. My question is he was saying something about the iPhone, and I didn't catch it because my phone was going in and out. Are iPhones unable to be encrypted?
No. Some like... The BlackBerry is because a lot of corporate people have those, but some iPhones, you just have to make sure you come up with something real good that'll make them fuck with your phone for a while before they can get it.
Okay, and then the link you sent me would help me with that.
Yeah, they'll tell you how to do it. There's that one,
okay.
And then there's another one. When you go to that one in the bottom there, there's a few links to tell you where to go, and you can watch the video on how to do it yourself.
All right, cool. Yeah,
but,
I knew that I was going to get a new phone and do the fingerprint one, but I know that doesn't protect it from their technology.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. You
it
know,
is
I've,
getting crazy, scary.
Yeah.
And
you know, the other thing too now is you and I are driving. And we haven't seen in a while, so you give him the bird, and a cop sees
right.
that, and he tells the guy, hey, what's up with that? And the guy says, he's just an asshole, you know. And then they start questioning
right.
that about you. They can pull you over, and that's their probable cause because you flipped the guy off.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, we're getting more and more in a police state.
Yeah, they can pull you over to search your car without even telling you why.
Wow. That's crazy. It's a crazy world we're living in now.
Yep.
I'm just wondering how we can turn it back.
Don't vote Democrat.
Oh, I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not. I switched my parties a while ago, thank God. But my concern is how much of the damage is done and how much are we going to be able to switch. And how much are we going to believe is being switched and put back to give us our privacy?
Yeah.
That's
it's
the
just,
scary part to me.
Yeah. There's things now. You're not going to get them back. You bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Exactly. And you can't even, imagine. My daughter was pulled over by you know, police department one time, and a cop up there, like she was in the Bay Area, and because she automatically went to look in her purse to get her ID, her boyfriend in the car looked in the glove compartment to get her registration as the officer was pulling up, because she wasn't reading on what to do and what not to do.
Right.
The guy automatically took their gun out on them. The police took the gun off, you know, pulled out their gun out of the holster and pointed at him, telling her to put her hands on the dashboard and everything. Totally freaked her out. She wasn't doing anything wrong. As tired of the scared, you know, there's pure chickens in the police. I think they all do it on fear.
Yeah, well, seen him coming. If she seen him coming, she shouldn't have leaned over to get it out. She should have waited.
Yeah, she should have. She should have. And I told her that. I go, you know, she knows now.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, it's just like you're in the car and the lights just went on and everybody turns around.
No, but she's, you know, her thing is that she's been in the habit of doing that before. So she, here's my, you know, instead of asking why she pulled over, but.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. Okay, you get her the envelope that comes with your registration, and you put your insurance paper in, and you put that in your insurance paper inside there. You
right.
get one of those, you get one of those 50-cent clips from Pep Boys, and you clip
mm-hmm.
it to the visor. So when you get pulled over, and I always put my hands up, so they can see my fingers. I'm not holding anything, right? And
okay.
I wait till they come to the window, but I don't say anything. I don't ask
right.
him why over, go fuck yourself, none of that shit. I wait till he talks to me. And then I say, well, I'm going to reach right here and I'm going to get you what you asked me for. I reach
right.
up, I put the visor down, and I hand him the envelope. And he says, can you take it out of the envelope? No problem.
Right.
I have your driver's license. Well, I'm sitting on it. It's in my back pocket. This was before I got smart. Now, whatever I'm wearing, even if I'm on my bike, I always got it in a little folder. You know those leather wallets they give you at the bike shows?
Yeah,
insurance guys? Okay.
Yeah.
I put everything in there. When I go, I take my license and I put it in there. And I never open my wallet because it's none of his business what I'm carrying in my wallet.
Right.
What if I open my wallet and there's like $2,000 bills in there? Can I ask you where you got that money from? No, it's none of your fucking business. So I don't do that anymore. I hand them that little billfold thing, and I open it up. And they don't have to take anything out. When they open it up, everything's right there that he wants to look at. You got your driver's license handy?
What?
You got your driver's license handy? Do you have it handy? Yeah.
Right this second? Not right this second. But what do you
okay,
need
all right. Here, let me... I'll tell you this way. All right, you hand the guy your license, right?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he's flipping your license around in his fingers. Do you know why he's doing that?
To see the code on the back?
No, he's rolling it around in his fingers while he talks to you. And he's running his fingers across your license.
Oh, to see if it's got the imprint, if it's real or not?
No, see if it's got, well, that too. But he's also checking for a pen dot. You know what that pen dot signifies?
No, what?
You were an asshole at your last stop, and you're going to get another ticket. Because
really?
when the guy went back to the car to write the ticket, they take the pen and they put an indent in your license. So when the guy's running your license through his fingers, he's
mm-hmm.
also looking to see where the encoding is, but he's also looking for one of those dots to tell him you were an asshole and you're going to get a ticket.
Oh, so no matter what, he's stopping it.
No matter what.
Okay.
So the best thing I can tell you, Bill's favorite two words, you know what they are?
What's that?
Shut up.
I kind of practiced that one.
You know, when you get pulled over, you got 30 to 45 seconds, you're going to know how that stop goes.
Right. True. I believe that. I don't fill a pinhole on my, so that's a good sign.
Well, then you were a good citizen.
Yeah, but I was surprised. I gave him a little bit of shit, but.
Not you.
But he gave me shit back, too. What?
I said, no, not you.
Me, never. No, I'm such a good girl with a non-foul mouth, and I abide every law.
Yeah. It's just like this, Jackie. You get 10 people to get a ticket, right?
Right.
How many people out of those 10 do you think are going to fight that ticket?
Oh, probably barely one, if that many.
Yep, because it's easier to bitch and just send in a check.
Right.
Do you know right now you got two guys in China listening to you talk?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow, around the world?
Yeah, you got right now we got Australia, Canada, Germany, Spain, the United Kingdom, the Ukraine, China, Italy, France, as well as Vietnam,
mm-hmm. Indonesia.
Yep.
That's nice. Well, hello, world.
Russia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all over the place. It's great. We're up to about 30,000 hits the next day on the archives throughout the day. And then mm-hmm. it tapers off a little bit, but right now there's probably about 300,000 to 400,000 people checked this out. Since the first of the year, in Brazil, we got Brazil, we got New Zealand, but since the first of the year, this year, January 1st of 2014, we have 3,406,898 people have looked at the blog or listened to the show.
Oh, wow. Nice. Well, hey, then let me put a plug in. I want to get hooked up with a lot of fundraisers. So anybody who's doing a fundraiser, they can contact me. And I call Mary Kay. So it could be like hand cream. It could be lipstick. It could be for chapped lips. And they would make 40% of all sales. And that's mm-hmm. what that would be the profit. And all they have to do is get a hold of me. I'll give you my email address. They can send for information. Ready?
Yeah, if you want, send it to me and send it to me in a message. Post it right now.
All right, perfect. I'll do that. Let's see. Should I try to do it while I'm on the phone with you?
It's up to you.
Okay, let me see. I could try. I don't want to put too much dead air on the time. That would be terrible.
No worries. We have, sometimes we have that air, sometimes we don't. It depends.
Right.
Like right now, you know, Bill's wife and his mom are under the weather, and...
Oh, no. How are they doing? What's wrong?
I'll call you after.
Oh, okay. Well, tell them I wish them love and sending prayers.
No worries. I will do that. I'll pass it on.
I was going to ask about how he was doing and... how his wife is doing.
Yeah.
And now his whole family.
Yeah. I'm not going to air that publicly because he asked me not to, but I'll tell you off.
Say prayers. All right,
but,
no
problem. Yeah. He's holding his own. You know, he's doing what he needs to do, and, you know, we almost lost him last year.
Bill?
His kidney shut down on him.
Oh,
and
wow,
you know, Bill, he don't like
that.
To go to the doctor, so when he was delirious and fucking turning black,
uh-huh.
we ended up getting him to the hospital just in time.
Wow, I don't think I was aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Nah, it was kind of a well-kept secret there for a little bit, because he didn't want anybody to know. You know how Bill is. He does for others, but he doesn't like to take
right.
anything. I mean, he's like me, more of a giver than a getter.
Right.
But,
Right.
Yeah.
Are we all?
Yeah.
That's what makes us such good people, that we're all that way.
Absolutely. And, they started filming Monday on your favorite show.
Awesome.
I'll be hanging out with those guys in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait till the season starts. To see where they spin now, both.
Well, you know who just joined the cast?
Who?
Marilyn Manson.
Really?
Yep.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I just posted it.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that post yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just saw your post about, you know, I think you're the one who posted the one about learning about Hitler, you know, how he was able to kill 6 million Jews, and now you're seeing it happen.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the last post I saw that you put on there. I love Facebook. You don't get to see what you want to see. You get to see what they want you to see and how it's posted up there.
Yeah, they're fucking with my shit.
Oh, I know.
I'll send you a text who's parked out in front of my house. You're going to shit when you see that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This thing's about $350,000, and they park here 3 nights a week.
Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun to see. If I had a car, I would ride it by and see and check it out for myself. You know, my car broke down. And
mm-hmm. Still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry I muted you. I don't know what you heard last.
Yeah, no, I heard. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'll send you a link to Marilyn Manson. I just sent it to you.
Okay, perfect. All right, and I sent you the, you know,
they're already posted.
Okay, they're already posted.
Yep.
All right. I forgot to put on there for fundraising, call me, but they can, you know, contact me. They can contact me for any reason.
It's right there right now.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yep.
You know, keep having success on the show and hopefully see you soon in person.
Yeah, well, you know, roll your ass up to Oceanside. But I might be down that way Saturday night. I gotta go up north. See, I'm doing double duty since Bill's taking care of other things, but I gotta roll up to San Fernando Valley. Two things I gotta do there and then turn around and roll back down to Chula Vista for another event.
Nice. Well, that's good to keep you busy. One of these days, I gotta check out the show, the movie you said. And is that on our regular time or is it special time?
I'm sorry.
Sorry. You mentioned
it's, what was that?
That
is what?
You mentioned that you have there was a movie out.
Yeah.
Chula Vista and Mesa. Is that on selected times or is it running full time?
No, it's running at the theaters right now, and it's called Water and Power. I'll send you I'll send you something about that.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, keep me in the loop of what's going on. And I'll try to call more often.
Okie doke. And anything you want to do or you got anything you want to promote or whatever, send it to me in an email first so I can post it, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. And you,
all right,
if you need anything, don't hesitate to call, stranger.
I know. I've just been, like, in my own world lately. I need to get out of it. I keep saying I've got
to
pull my head
out. You need
to
go for a ride. That's what you need. Clear your head.
That's true. That is so true. And that's one of the things I'm getting as soon as I get the settlement, is I'm going to have my own. And so I won't have to beg for guys.
There you go. And I know the perfect place to hook you up with that and get you a good deal.
I couldn't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think
all right, well, then I'm gonna let you go, and you take care, and I'll call you in a little bit.
Okay, sounds great. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, hello there, you. You didn't fall asleep on me, did you?
I just stepped back from the hospital.
Uh-huh. What happened?
Well, I kind of slipped and pulled some ligaments and cartilage in my right leg. So now I got it wrapped, and I got to go see a specialist tomorrow or Monday. A stupid thing to do, but I did it.
Yeah.
And it hurts. And it really hurts.
Did they give you any meds?
Oh, yeah. They gave me some OxyContin to take.
Be careful with those. Those are addictive.
No. They only give me like 15, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's 15 more than I got.
Well, I just took one not too long ago, so.
Yeah. Well, you'll be out here. You'll be out soon.
Yeah, I twisted it the wrong way when I was getting off a stepping stool cleaning, you know.
Huh?
And they took x-rays, but he says x-rays won't do it. It's got to be an MRI. But because of the swelling and the pain, they think it's the outlet, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Nothing more kind of stupid, but.
Yeah.
Where's the rest of them?
Don't know. Stacy, I guess, is not feeling too well in, you know, a couple other things going on with other things. And I'm going to call it an early night here as soon as I get done talking to you.
Well, did I tell you I stopped smoking?
Good for you.
Yep. Been over a week now.
Good for you.
Yeah. I needed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you have to want to do it.
Yeah. Well, you gotta wait till they get you the med card, then you can. You won't have to worry about all those aches and pains.
Yeah.
Just fight and roll yourself a fatty and relax.
Well, the only thing I'm concerned about is putting weight on because the food is really starting to taste good.
There you go.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you'll watch it. I mean, I try not to. I try not to eat all kinds of sugars and shit, but you know.
Yeah. I know it's hard though. I'll tell you, I had some Raisin Toast today. It was the best Raisin Toast I've had in years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I'm not smoking, so I could really taste it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, as well.
All right, well, you get some rest. I'm going to roll out of here with... Okay. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take it easy.
Night.
Have a good night. Yep, good night.
Bye-bye. I got, this one's called Never Ride Alone Again. This is by Mike P., the big homie, and I'll take us out with this, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Man.